Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, February 26, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The sermon today is Proclaim Transformation. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, and chapter 17, verses 1 through 9.
Just street? Maybe the one across from the 7-Eleven? The one at Cedar and Georgia? We point to who we are as the building. It's a visible and tangible thing to point to. And this building and this church was built with great care by people who wanted to give glory to God in this place. At the time that this building was built, it was on the outskirts of town. Right? I've seen the pictures in the hallway. There were not a bunch of cities. This was the new part of town. There were families moving in, and people thought it would be good to have a church here. And it's a beautiful church. Not a stunning church. A lot of you I know have traveled. Have you been to some beautiful churches in the world? Yes. Tell me about that. Which church do you remember?
St. Basil's.
St. Basil's, and where is that? Oh, okay, so St. Basil's is a beautiful church.
I went with my brother back in 1996.
Yes. Yeah. What do you remember about it?
Big.
It's big.
Singing good hymns.
Yeah. Yeah. Other beautiful churches have you been to? Yeah.
Notre Dame,
Paris, right? Right in the middle of the Seine, right? Have you been to a different church? St. Catherine's. Yes, St. Catherine's is a beautiful church. Somebody's mumbling over here. Yeah. Oh, the cathedral at Chartres in France with this all this ancient stone and these huge...
How about the one in Kern?
Okay.
It's bigger.
It is. It is. Other beautiful church buildings you've visited. The Cathedral of Toledo in Spain. Okay, so the way the light shines in through the windows there? Yeah.
National Cathedral?
The
Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, this huge Byzantine type church without an ounce of steel in its construction.
Without an ounce of what?
Steel.
It's all made out of?
Well, it's masonry and stuff.
Masonry and brick and. And a dome, right? Stunning.
St. Peter's in New York.
St. Peter's in New York, yeah. And St. Vincent's.
Excellent.
And, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, right? Where I grew up in Palos Verdes, there was a Swedenborgian church, and it was all glass. And it was next to the, it was like kind of in this wooded area next to the ocean. And so it was like the place to get married because it was this stunningly, beautiful and unique building that was there. So these buildings are built, right, to give glory to God, right? That's the plan of the architecture. That's the plan of the windows. And some of those places you just go, this is a special place, right? This is a holy place. And today is Transfiguration Sunday, and the scripture story about Jesus' glory takes place in one of those special places in the world. He's up on the highest mountaintop. You've been up to overlooks, right? I was on Outdoor Ed with my child last week, and of course, one of the obligatory hikes was to go up to the highest point on the campsite and to be able to look out over the neighboring hills. The mountaintop that Jesus was probably on was likely Mount Hermon, which is part of Syria and is part of the Golan Heights, if you hear about that kind of area in the news. And it is there that Jesus was clearly shown in his power and his glory. You remember the scripture that we just read, his face shone like the sun, his clothes were dazzling white. Wow. And the other famous people showed up too. the famous prophets appear even better. Elijah shows up, and Moses. And then God's voice booms out of the clouds. How often do you get to hear God's voice with that much clarity? And his voice comes out of the clouds, sharing that same revelation that was heard at Jesus' baptism. This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And one of Peter's responses is to turn to Jesus and say, this is good. Yeah, of course this is good. You hear God. You see prophets. It's easy to know who Jesus is. They fall on their knees. And then Peter says, great, let's stay here. I'll build some tents here. I'll build 3 tents for you. I think it's a natural response to want to mark the occasion by building one of these special glorified places where the vision and the glory is so easy to see. And to do it on a mountaintop where you can see for miles and miles around. It's the place I'd want to build a church. But does Jesus allow Peter to build anything there? No. But Jesus is about building churches. Yes, but not there. Not in that particular geographical place. Wasn't Jesus just talking about building his church with Peter a few verses before? And Peter was there. So what's going on here? To get a little more background on this Transfiguration passage, I included in the reading the morning the physical location and the previous context that comes right before this Transfiguration story. It's that part where Jesus is walking in the district of Caesarea Philippi, and it is there that he asks, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter says, you're the Messiah. And then Jesus says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, some Christian traditions say this phrase about you are Peter, and I will build your church was to say it's built on Peter's authority. So like the Catholic Church will look at this as apostolic authority. If Jesus gave Peter authority and Peter gave authority to this group of apostles and this group of apostles gave it to this group of disciples, and you pass that authority on generation to generation to the Pope today. Other Christian traditions point to Peter's confessional statement. The church is built not upon Peter's authority, but upon him declaring that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of the living God. Some other Christian traditions would say, oh, Jesus is building the church upon a person and relationships. The church is a people. But I started wondering this week, all of those things are legitimate ways to look at where Jesus is building the church and upon what. But today I started to get to wonder about the geography that might matter. That is Jesus intentionally looking at the idea of where the church gets built. I had the privilege to travel to the Holy Land a couple years ago. And so I've started paying more attention to where these stories are because I walked some of those places. And in this particular story, Jesus was in the district of Caesarea Philippi. I did not get to visit Caesarea Philippi while I was there. But that is the city in which this conversation was taking place. So I went and I looked it up. Where is Caesarea Philippi? Well, it's sort of near Capernaum in Galilee in Jesus' hometown, but it's further north. In fact, it's 16 miles away from all the other places that Jesus has been talking about. It wouldn't have just been on Jesus' way to going to a different place. So it makes it sound like he took his disciples way out of the way to get to Caesarea Philippi. The other thing about this town is you can tell by the name, it's dominated not by the Jews and the small people. Caesar Philip was the name of one of the governors. And then this city was established by the Greeks, and the Greeks who worshipped the Greek gods. For archaeological records of Caesarea Philippi indicate that this was a site of worship dedicated to the Greek god Pan. Do you remember your Greek mythology class? Okay, what was Pan the god of?
Pan the fun.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. Hey, good job. You've been listening to your teachers, I can tell. Right? See, there we go. There we go. Half god, yeah, he's a god. So he's half human and half goat. And this was the god who was responsible for shepherds and flocks, mountainside hunting, and that rustic music on that pan. And there was a niche carved into the rock at the mouth of the cave where a statue of Pan used to stand. And the niche is still there today. In fact, the modern name of this place in Israel is called Benias, which is an Arabic pronunciation of Panias. Panias, the city of Pan. This is not just a Greek-dominated place, but it's also a place that the Jews avoided. No good, self-respecting Jewish leader would be caught dead visiting this place. It wasn't the clean and nice and safe place for good Jewish men to go visiting. There's idol worship happening, and who knows what they're doing with that statue of Pan. And then there really was a place called the Gates of Hades. Well, you are like way ahead of the game here. Okay, I'm going to preach though. It's my turn to preach, but you sound like you've got this already. The Gates of Hades, there was a mouth of a cave and the water would come spewing out of this mouth. And the legend was that that's the place where the evil spirits, when they came to rise, they would come up rising out and onto this water that flowed out of the mountainside. So that really gives a much more colorful context to the statement of when Jesus turns to Peter and says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock with this niche, I don't know, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, this cave with the water flowing out of it, will not prevail against it. It is likely Jesus was standing within sight of that cave, that Pan statue, and among all of these non-Jewish idol-worshipping Greeks. And so the statement of where I want you to build the church is exactly like places like Caesarea Philippi. It's such a contrast to that mountaintop. The mountaintop where things are beautiful and things are clear, where you're sort of far away from the rabble. No, Jesus says, I want to build my church in the gritty place, someplace that isn't isolated. Not to keep all the glory and joy up on that mountaintop, but to be the good news in the places where it is needed most. That the church is called to be the light that shines in the darkness, not the light on the mountaintop that's removed from everybody else. So I want us to look a little bit at our own geography, the geography of Vallejo. Vallejo is an amazing city. It's also a city that has its fair of struggles. We've been praying about the gun violence that's happening on our neighboring blocks and next to folks' homes. It's been affecting our members and affecting our neighborhoods. I was able to go to Farmers Market downtown just yesterday. And I love the diversity of all the vegetables and the people who were there, and also saw a lot of shuttered buildings and heard a man who was concerned about the cement plant and the plans for that. And then just this week, on Thursday, a man was outside the church giving looks to one of the 14-year-old girls who goes to the, there's a charter school that rents our building, and she was kind of uncomfortable. So she came back inside the church. She needed a safer place to be. And I'm grateful that Julia, our office administrator, called 911, also talked to Bob Averett, who went outside just to kind of be an additional protecting set of eyes. And indeed, the police came and identified the person. And I'm glad that we as a church could be helping protect children on this block and in this place, because the man had wandered from here right towards the elementary school next door. I'm glad that we as a church host Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous, and that those folks celebrate in this very hall the milestones of sobriety. For this church is a place for people who need a place to meet and support one another. We may not be the most beautifully architectural places, like some of the buildings that we named in Toledo, St. Basil's, the National Cathedral. But what if we measured ourselves as a church and by who we are, if our beauty was found in our love of our neighbors and our love of our neighbors in this city? For ultimately, who we are is not the building. It's how we care for one another and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're here for a purpose and for a reason. Right on this corner of Cedar and Georgia, across the street from the 7-Eleven. And we are the people who gather at this place, answering the question, who are you? I'm the church. A church who protects and welcomes, a church who is a light in the middle of this city. Remember, some of you know these old children's songs. Well, if you remember this one, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.